Yesterday at Fremont, some of you were there, and I ran out of time and actually did not cover one thing I wanted to cover, and that would be the matter of ministering the word or speaking the Lord's word in the church. So I want to get to that today. And but before we get to that, I want to have all this taped so that this fellowship can go to all the brothers that were there yesterday. All right, so make sure that happens right away. So I want to first, again, revisit this matter in our family training. Somewhat the Lord has stopped us, even in lesson one. And that is on the, you know, being a revived person. And the Lord seems to be leading us to not be general about it. Now, of course, you have been in this lesson. And by the way, this morning in San Francisco, you covered part two of Roman numeral two, which is on the morning, being revived in the morning. Am I right? And then you actually have another week where you get into three and four, and especially Roman numeral four is a complete lift off from the Vital Group Training book one. It's called the Urgent Need Fellowship, Need and Fellowship Concerning the Vital Groups. So those six or seven points were very, very exactly prescribed by Brother Lee, even before we go and look for a companion and form a vital group. Before all of that, personally, he said the group of one. You know, the white vital groups start with one person. That means it starts, it has to start individually, personally, before even we talk about something collective and together. So this is where we are now, and we want to stay here with all the saints until we can at least to some deeper degree enter into the practice of these things. Now, specifically, of course, I'm referring to repentance and confession, or confession and repentance. In talking to Jim just now over lunch, in his speaking, I agree, there's something to the order of those two words that perhaps in experience, repentance actually precedes confession. You know, when the John the Baptist came, and when the Lord came to preach the gospel of the kingdom, the first word is not confess. The first word is repent. Repent means to have a change of thinking, a change of mind, hence a turn. And those were spoken to these Jewish people who were steeped in the Jewish religion. So that repentance is not even just repentance from sin merely, but from the realm that they're in, even to repent from their religion. Basically, to repent from everything that is not part of God's kingdom to God's kingdom, which is the whole realm of God that we are to be saved into. So, or transfer into. So, so the turn has to be there. Now, check with our experience. How can you confess, or even how do you know what to confess, if your heart is not even turned? I mean, that becomes a futile exercise. You know, when we were in Taiwan in the 80s, somebody came up with a list of 30 things to confess. It's there somewhere. I mean, like, confess this, confess that. I never got quite to it, but a lot of people got a lot of help, and I don't question that. But my point is, in my experience, a list as such is a bit, how should I say, mechanical or rigid. And a list like that, I would submit, is helpful. But you cannot just sit there and, okay, let's go through the list. Number one, what, you know, number two, what. No, the first thing is to turn your heart.
Amen.
And there, Paul was also speaking to the people with this Jewish background. You know, the veil, there's a veil. That veil is the Jewish things, the Jewish laws, and all the stuff. And they are to turn their heart to the Lord, and that veil would be removed. And then it end up talking about we will then be face to face with the Lord and being transformed and, you know, so on and so forth. So as from the Lord's Spirit. So clearly, experientially, the first thing is to turn.
Amen.
You may say, oh, this is way too basic, just absolutely way too basic. But brothers, I don't care how mature you are, it still begins with a turn.
Right.
You can be a very mature Christian, but your heart is unturned.
Right.
I'll tell you, you're not in the right condition. You're mature. But because you fail to turn now, you are all still subject to what? To living in the old kingdom. Living in your old self. There's no graduation from that. There's no, you know, I got here and I don't need to turn anymore. So every morning, what is morning revival? It starts with a turn.
Amen.
To the Lord. That's why we call on the Lord. That's why we do that. That's the turn. Oh, Lord Jesus. That's a turn. You're turning your heart again. The heart that tends to wander and stray. So, okay. So, from this sense, repentance have to start. Is the beginning point. Then, after you turn to the Lord, you're touching the Lord, then the Lord would come to you. And the way the Lord comes to you is mainly in the way of light. In the way of light. Of course, the Lord is life. The Lord is life. But it says the life is the light of man. So really, the light comes, and the light would then generate life or bring in life. And that is in Genesis 1, right? In the creation. The first thing is not life. The first thing is let there be what? Light. And as the light increases by the day, you know, those 6 days, the level of life also, the complexity of the organisms also increase. So light comes first. So the visitation from the Lord is the coming of light to a person. So first we turn our heart to the Lord, and then when our heart is turned, we behold him face to face. You know what is that? That is his countenance. That is his shining. And that shining of the Lord's light, which you have to go to the one chapter, specific chapter in the book, The Knowledge of Life, towards the end. That is a classic chapter. It's called Light and the Heart or some such thing. That shining of the light exposes, it reveals, it convicts, it penetrates, it judges, like judges, and eventually like kills the divine light in experience. So it is when that light comes, as we are turned to the Lord to touch Him, then there is no introspection here. It's not you trying to, you know, with the help of 30 points or something, to figure out what's wrong with me, to do some kind of self-diagnosis, all right? You don't need to do that. In fact, the best thing is not to come to the Lord with an agenda. Probably you tell yourself, you know, I think I'm kind of worldly, so I probably should go to the Lord about the world. Okay, oh Lord Jesus, what about the world? That is a wrong way. That is absolutely not the way to go to the Lord. What you do is you just turn your heart to the Lord with nothing, with no even confession agenda. You just touch the Lord and let the Lord speak. Let the Lord shine. Let the Lord give you His sense. And there, frequently, it's during the time you call, during the time you pray, and then you begin to have a deeper calling. Then you have some deeper prayer. And in that moment or in that process, we all know the Lord begins to speak. And you know what? Oftentimes, not totally surprising. Not what you think. You think, I'm worldly. Actually, the Lord come and touch you, it's something else. It's something else. So don't prepare a confessional. You know, that's what they do with the priests in Catholic Church. You fail, you commit some sin. So you go to the priest with the agenda to confess to the priest you did that wrong. Now, I'm not saying that does not happen, because we do sin, and we're very, very remorseful, and we go to the Lord to confess. That happens. That happens. So I'm not saying that's wrong. But oftentimes, you are not even that conscious of what. And you think you're quite okay even. But as you turn, with a view to really have the Lord's light and speaking, the Lord shines and touch certain matters that you never thought of, that's not even in your head. And yet that is the very thing that is a problem to the Lord. You know, that is frustrating you in your relationship with the Lord. So I just say this much. I know I'm being maybe far too detailed, but I will tell you, dear brothers, the experience of the Lord is not, okay, let me put it this way. Our experience of Christ or in order for our experience of Christ to grow or to increase or to expand, the way is to become more detailed. Do you follow me? The way is to become more detailed. I am quite concerned that even serving brothers, your dealing with the Lord, or, you know, this kind of dealing with the Lord, for years, is still at this level. You cannot say there's no dealing. That's too much to say. But that dealing remains in that general, I use the word hazy way. Lord, I'm bad, you know. Lord, I'm no good. Or Lord, I was in my flesh. Well, that is good. It's a good starting point. But if you constantly are just doing that, your dealing with the Lord is not deepening. And you will remain, as far as your life level, you know, your growth in life in the same, about the same place, year after year, year after year. Okay, so the burden today, brothers, you may say is not for the brothers who are been around, is not that we never confess or we have zero dealings with the Lord. No, we all have some dealings. We all have some confession. But at this time, brothers, with the Lord's leading us into these matters, this is an opportune moment for you and I to deepen that. And let me say again, the way is by detail. The way is by specifics. You cannot just generally confess and generally feel bad. And the only way you can go detailed is when the light is finer, when the light is more spot on, when the light is more laser sharp. Do you see what I'm saying? The first day light is what? Is just generally, I forgot what the description is, just some kind of hazy light. That's good enough for grass to grow, but not for a human being. So then the next day, there would be what? There would be the sun, and then what? The moon, the third day, fourth day light. And you know, you have to get into all those things I don't even remember. The point is, the light has to get more specific and more intense. Then there's a corresponding what reaction in the complexity of that organism. I use that word. It's sort of a biological term. And that means the riches of that organism, or to use our word, the growth. Huh? Well, that comes with that level of life. The higher the life, the higher the consciousness. But the point is, then there is further growth. There is further development. You know, we don't subscribe to evolution, right? Theory of evolution, right? Absolutely not. But I would say somewhat there is some evolution going on in this process of deepening of our dealing with the Lord. Brothers, don't be afraid of this word dealing. I know it's not a nice-sounding word. It's not pleasant. We all rather have the word enjoy, right? Enjoy, okay, no problem. I'm going to enjoy. Dealing. But brothers, let me tell you, no further dealing, no deeper enjoyment. That's the principle. That's the principle. So I hope to make a sound out a call, not to the general saints even, but just to the serving brothers, you brothers, all right, to advance these days. The cry is come forward. So it is time, brothers, don't stay where you are. Some of us might be in the same place for years now. You're not bad, you're for the church, you love the Lord, you come to the meetings, check, check, check. But your life level, your growth in the Lord has been impeded and hindered for quite a while. Perhaps not even by some very obvious things, but by your lack or your stoppage in this deeper dealing of your inward parts, of your being. So I want to say this. I really want to say this to all the brothers. Okay. So this has everything to do with our growth in life. Now, we talk about digging, right? Didn't we? Numbers 21 about they sing, they dig, and I'm not going to repeat that. But this morning when Sam O, Okay. Anyway, he picked me up at Fremont to bring me here. So we had good fellowship. And in the fellowship, I said, we brought up the digging. And I said, Sam, actually, the word dig in this sense is not in the New Testament, at least that I can remember. But I said, at least in Matthew 13, with the parable of the soil, you can see the need of digging. So you have that seed, right? The Lord is the sower, and the word is the seed, etc. And it is sown into the human heart. So now I would like to even tell you, the main place of dealing is the heart, in which includes the conscience, which includes all three parts of the soul, mind, emotion, will. All right, these four parts added together is called the heart. That when we talk about dealing with the Lord, digging, that's the spot. That's the ground of digging. You see? Okay. So here, the Lord is talking about the human heart. Number one is the wayside. You remember that? Then number two, it's the rocky places. And number three is the thorns, the thorny places. And number four, of course, is the good heart. Good soil. So, that being the case, all three parts, all those first three kinds of soil, are the object and target of the digging. So when we talk about digging, it's not just dig. No, no. You have to find where to dig. You have to be specific. Okay, number one is the wayside. Wayside means a heart that is close to the worldly traffic. You know, this is the interpretation. So, you know, the traffic of the world of all manners and kinds and ways, you know, with all the departments in this cosmos, right? I don't need to, you know, Saturday there's a royal wedding, you know. Was it yesterday? Yesterday there was this royal, let me tell you, that is traffic, right? I mean, billions probably tune in to that traffic. Oh, what did the bride wear? And oh, what did the prince look like? And where did they go? You know, and do you understand what I'm saying? The whole world is in that traffic, and so I don't have time to get into all of this, but that is a very specific dealing. The Lord will come and touch you, not just generally you're not good or whatever, but how about this traffic? You see, the Lord will say, you are not growing, and or the well is not springing because you are still too close to this traffic. You know, right? Talk about the traffic place. You don't need to go far. This is the traffic, the freeway interchange, the LA type, you know. Okay. Then there's a second one, and that is the thorns. The thorns, the rocky places. The rocky places, they say, you know, the soil received the seed, but then the persecution comes. And then the seed was dried up by the sun, meaning the persecution. And these happens to some, you know, some Christians. There arose certain kind of opposition and persecution from family, from your situation, in some cases even from your spouse. All kind of thing to so you need to deal with that. It could be some soulish relationship. You wouldn't consider that opposition, but to the Lord is an opposition because that relationship opposes the Lord. I've been through that, you know, with my parents. And there in Los Angeles, when we went through these things, the Lord would not let me go on that, on just that one thing. And that is my relationship with my dear parents, whom I love and who loved me so much. The Lord would not let me go. I tried to kind of say, Lord, don't touch that. You know, let's get on to some other problems. The Lord would not go to those problems. The Lord would stick to that problem until I get through. So, my mother gave me a memento, a physical memento when I came to this country. To you, it may mean nothing, but to me, that's her. That's her, this physical memento. And then the Lord, for days, just touched that. He wouldn't touch anything else. He touched some other things about TV. I don't even have one, you know. They touched some others about whatever. For me, that's what the Lord's finger is doing this. And try as I may, the Lord wouldn't let me go. And that's where the dealing comes in. And the digging comes in. And then, you know what brought me through that? Is a hymn. So when you dig, you need to sing. I did that. And that hymn in Chinese was so brought me through so much that I translated it into English. So today that song, Dear Lord Jesus, Precious Jesus, I translated that. And specifically there's a line, something while I'm obeying, I would not change my standing. You know, there's, I don't know which. Obeying. That's exactly where I was. And so that song arrested me, and I translated it afterwards. And that song is what brought me through that particular digging. And eventually, I could not do anything. The day came, we all have to go to the beach. You know, in those days, we went to the beach to have this bonfire to burn all manners of things. You know, Brother Howard Higashi, have you heard of that name? He burned his wetsuit because his background, Hawaiian, is this kind of ocean fishing on a wetsuit. You know, it's not deep sea fishing. You go in from the spear fishing from the beach in Hawaii. That's his life. And even after he came to the mainland to LA, he continued that lifestyle. And the Lord touched him to burn the wetsuit. And it was black smoke. We were saying this might be what Babylon looks like when it's judged, you know. That's for him. That's his Hawaiian lifestyle the Lord needs to get through to gain him. But for me, it's not that. I have no wetsuit. I have nothing. But it's this memento. So that day came, I put that thing into a paper brown bag and just brought that with me to the fire, and I cast it into the fire. But it's not the thing, the object. It's the soulish relationship that the Lord wants to cut. So verses such as, if you don't love your father and mother and so on more than me, you are not worthy. Or if you follow me, you have to. So those things, brothers, I want to tell you, those things are very real. And every time when we go through these things specifically, the growth in life, you know what I mean? You don't need to try to grow. The water starts to flow. The Lord got through, and life grows. And it was through dealing after dealing like this that we grow, brothers. I think today we really don't need to kind of pine for a revival. If all the saints, as many saints would do this, revival will be with us. You trust me. Because the well is installed and it's waiting to flood and to flow, but the things are blocking. So, and then the third one is what? Is the thorns. The thorns are the one, the anxiety of life, and two, the deceitfulness of riches. And those things choke, it says, the seed so that it cannot grow. So, brothers, whether it is a hardened soil by the footpath, or is it just rocks, rocky places, or thorny places, the whole point is we need to, what do the farmers do? They have to clear, is that right? Clear the land. That's the word. They need to clear the land. So digging is to clear out the heart. Now, I'm going to wrap up this part by saying something related to the family training. The heart is, I mentioned already, number one, conscience. Number three, mind. Number two, the soul, which is mind, emotion, will. And then, of course, the heart itself. All right. So I'd like to tell you, brothers, yesterday, what I told you, I'd like to make a change. I told you that we're going to use that book called Lessons on Life. Four lessons, I think I recommended, whatever it is, okay? I want to change that, okay? It's not too late. It was just yesterday. So I already just make a phone call, and I'm going to produce four simple outlines, not these long, complex ones, but just four, like the ones you have in the life lesson, basic lessons on life. And just two pages of reading. I'm going to not give you tons of reading, but pages. I'm going to create four outlines for the next 4 weeks. After you finish whatever your final week is, okay? The next 4 weeks. And I'm going to tell you what they are. Number one, they're all dealings. Sorry. Digging, okay? Number one is dealing with the conscience. This big. Conscious. Number two, dealing with the soul. That's mind, emotion, will. Okay? Number three, dealing with the heart. Now, the heart, you say, well, isn't the heart the conscience, the soul? Yes. But the heart specific. When you talk about dealing with the heart, you're talking about things like motive, like purity, like cleanness, okay? That is something specific to the heart. It's singleness. Matters of ambition. All those things are in a heart matter, okay? So we're gonna have one lesson on dealing with the heart. Then the final lesson is digging these inward parts. Those are the four. And that will take us through June. So that will be sent to the brothers, and the brothers will spread it to all the 200-some brothers, okay? And we will go that way. I was told just now, even your morning meeting, the English, there was some good sharing and testimonies. Meaning what, brothers? These things take time. Don't think 2 weeks we're done, let's move on to finding our vital companions. No, we got to slow down and get through with some things. And that's the way we have to build things up. The same not with all the saints. Similarly, I use the word marinate. I mean, we need that drip drop. Now, I'd like to say one more thing, and I will move on to say something about ministering the word. And that is something I told Sam O also this morning. I said, brother, because this is a kind of digging and clearing of ground, of the fields and so forth, I said, one, besides the matter of being detailed and specific, okay, the other thing is, by extension, the need for longer time. You cannot rush this kind of dealing, like in a few minutes. I guarantee you. If you are in a rush, you will always remain in general. Always you'll be general. But when the Lord wants to touch something specific, like I say, some things the Lord wants to touch it, it will take him days, sometimes even weeks, to get through in you or me. I'm not even here talking about another giant rock. It's called disposition. I'm not even talking about that yet. But the Lord may touch some of us about that. You know, brothers who are married, married brothers, huh? A lot of our problem with our wives is disposition. It's not that you hate your wife or you... No. It's your disposition. It's true. The same thing with the wife. It's dispositional clash. So, sooner or later, the Lord has to touch that core of our being. It's a disposition. Actually, the fact of the matter is, when we're younger, the Lord would touch these more superficial things like the world, like sin. But once these things are dealt with, are removed, you see the biggest rock. The biggest rock. And even for brothers who are in their 20s, 30s, don't think you have to get to 60, 70 to have dispositional problems. No, you're wrong. When you're 20-something, you already have a formed disposition. It's just not as hardened like mine, you know, but you already have one. The sooner we are conscious to deal with that, the more we can grow and be useful to the Lord. So where am I? Okay, you need time. So brothers, I adjure you not to give the Lord time. You know, I told Sam, right? Just like when Jehovah visited Abraham in that intercession, you know. The Lord didn't say what's really on his heart until the end. Just small talk, pleasantries, good food, and whatever. Then he was leaving. He still didn't say it. But good old Abraham, he stayed with Jehovah. And then the Jehovah said, how can I not tell him what I really came here for?
Right.
But if Abraham did not linger, that's it. There wouldn't be that intercession, and who knows what happened to Lot. He'd be over. So, of course, that is not about dealing, but principle is there. You know, brothers, the Lord always wait until you are really ready and desirous and seeking before even he touches those things that are deeper or speak to you about things that are really, really pivotal to your life, you see. And if you're quick about it and just kind of in and out, no wonder the Lord could never even put his finger on it because you're moving too fast. So I am being very practical here, brothers. Spend the time. These kind of longer moments or seasons with the Lord is never, never in vain. You may say, well, I spend an hour and still I'm not so clear. Well, I must have wasted that hour. You didn't waste that hour. You didn't waste that hour. It took that hour for you to get to the next hour. And maybe by the third hour, the Lord will say something to you, not even everything. And by the fourth hour, he then will say more. By the fifth hour, he will open his heart to you. That's our experience. Actually, this kind of word is for the working saints. So many working saints, you know, especially those who've been through FTTA and whatever, I found that when they're in the FTT, they were quite sensitized, and, you know, in that environment, and this dealing day in, day out, nothing else to do, you know. So you see some growth. You do. Very visible and discernible growth. But after they got out of the training, 5 years, 10 years later, I saw he or she still looked like that day he got out of the training. In other words, in these last 10 years, no advance. Still in the church, I mean, still love the Lord, and no problem. But in terms of the advance, the of life, no, about the same. So I can already draw the conclusion: this or that person have stopped at a certain level of this, and did not go on. The word in Numbers 21 is that the noble and the leaders dug. That means it's not God digging. You know, when the rock is struck, it was Moses, right? But here it's not Moses, it's a bunch of people. And Brother Lee said, as long as you're a seeker of the Spirit, you are the noble. Or you are the leader, or whatever, something like that. That means it's up to us. And I say again, the digging is not with your, don't bring your shovel, okay? The scepter is prescribed. There's a staff subscribed already for you to dig. You dig, but you don't use your own natural instrument to dig. That means your self-made light, your introspective kind of self-analysis. You dig. You have to deal. But you use the scepter. That means the Lord's authority. The staff, you know, the Lord's what? Yeah, the staff is to guide the sheep and so on. That means the Lord speaking. You know, the Lord's speaking is in the Lord's light. And that speaking, when it comes to you, is authority. And also that, when it comes to you, it directs you. It guides you where to go, even in the direction of digging. So, dear brothers, learn to spend longer time with the Lord. And in your time with the Lord, learn to sense the scepter, sense the staff, and where the Lord is touching, what the Lord wants to get through in. It's extremely personal. I yearn to see many brothers and sisters as well. You know, every digging makes a hole in you. And that hole is where the water flows. We are all too whole, W-H-O-L-E. We need more holes, H-O-L-E. And we have to dig and let the Lord. Okay, now I say this not just to you, but to all the brothers, to give some more detail to this matter. for our own pursuit, and so that we can even help the saints and not just give them a lesson. Now, this is a good segue into presentation. All right. Now, brothers, even in this giving of lessons and so forth, it's not long, maybe 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, whatever it may be. They're not long, big messages. But I will tell you, the principle is the same. Even if you speak 2 or 3 minute prophecy, the principle is the same. Now, I would very much recommend that book called The Practice of Prophesying. And there's a 2-chapter book called Practice of Prophesying. And I believe it's in the 2nd chapter. The 1st chapter is all about Mary. You know, Mary and her cousin, Elizabeth, that was a classic prophecy. Brother Lee used that as an illustration. But in the 2nd chapter, Brother Lee got practical about how to give a prophecy. And there's a list of points there. I don't remember all the points. You can go take a look. It's very, very helpful. Very, very helpful. And all the saints need to learn that. Now, I'll be random here because I have not have my thoughts organized in speaking for the Lord. So even as we're giving a lesson, a simple lesson, brothers, we are speaking for the Lord, all right? You're speaking for the Lord. Yeah. Somewhat representing the Lord to the saints. Well, you say, whoa, my goodness. Yeah, my goodness, that's right. It is a big deal. You have to respect that. Some brothers, they say, oh, to speak, oh, I'm, okay, I prepare, I just give it. No. You're speaking for the Lord to the saints. Right away, that should instill a attitude of what? Carefulness. Huh? Of gravity, of respect of what you are doing. It's not just prepare something and just kind of say it. You're speaking for the Lord. And so you must also speak what? In the Lord and with the Lord. See, I have to remind myself when I speak, when I give a message. Which really means, brothers, you have to be one with the Lord. So the first thing in the speaking, brothers, is you have to be one with the Lord. And then you say, how do I get one with the Lord? Let me tell you, the most important thing in speaking is prayer. It's not speaking. It's praying. I like to say this, in an ideal situation, when I'm properly exercised to speak, prayer should precede my speaking. Prayer should accompany my speaking. And prayer should what? Follow my speaking. You need a praying spirit to speak. Well, Brother Lee said, "What before I speak, no matter how busy I am, whether even I have an outline, I know exactly what I'm going to say, I still must touch the Lord. I must go to the Lord, personally. You know, of course, with the brothers, but not just with the brothers first. You are speaking. So you have to spend time with the Lord. So Lord's Day morning, you're going to speak. You have to be pray not just to prepare the content, that's another matter, but you have to get into the Spirit to be one with the Lord. As your main preparation. So Saturday night, Lord's Day morning, you need to carve out time to pray and contact the Lord and be one with Him. Really, brothers, that's how serious you should be. Okay. Right. Then, in the speaking, now random, okay, I just didn't have these things ordered. You have to remember that you are not here kind of giving a speech to the saints, you know, a spiritual speech. No. Keep in your mind, you are here to minister Christ to the saints. You may be talking about dealing, you may be talking about, that's the content part. But you must be here with the view, or even the intention, I would say, to minister Christ, which is to minister the Spirit, which is to minister life to the saints. Through the message, through the points. But the goal is not a good speech. It's not a well-delivered whatever. It's whether you check at the end, did I minister some life to the saints? That's the check. Did I minister some Spirit to the saints? Are the saints nourished by Christ? Are the saints uplifted by the Spirit? Are the saints supplied by life in your speaking? If not, you are successful in passing all the information in the outline, but everyone is like, unsatisfied. Just, is that it? You know? So, yeah, this is a lesson, this is a training, but brothers, in the church, we're not just teaching a class. It is a class, but we're here in speaking, huh? This kind of speaking, to minister Christ. Now, you say, what is to minister Christ? Well, you should know, right? And so, therefore, I go to the third point. When you speak, the most important thing is you are in the Spirit and you exercise the Spirit. Yeah. Don't exercise just your mentality. Oh, the points, you know, A, B, C, or this illustration, or whatever it is, you know. You must exercise the Spirit. And let the Spirit sort of take over, if you will. It says in Acts 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Yeah? So there is no speaking without the Spirit. So you need to be full of the Spirit. That's why we need to pray, by the way, so that we would not just have all the points, but we would have the Spirit. We would have the Spirit. Our spirit is exercised. Our spirit is stirred up. Our spirit is, active. Our spirit is full of feeling. And the anointing of the Lord has a way to move within us when we speak. Now, I don't expect you next week to do all these things, but I'm saying that you need to learn.
Amen.
You need to learn these things, okay? Number four, while you need to prepare, meaning the point, you've got to, you know, of course, that's where you need the word and to prepare the content. But now here's very key. A good speaking is not just a speaking with all the points covered. A good speaking is a speaking that touches the burden. So my word to you, find the burden. Now there may be 10 points or whatever, 5 points. But inevitably, you cannot, all 5 points are delivered, done, you know. No, I tell you, the Spirit would always shine on 1 point or 2 points, and that becomes the burden. The way Brother Lee taught us is this. He said, in every message, you know, giving a message, you need to find the soul. There's a soul, like there's a soul in every body. There's a soul in every message. The hard part is not get the points that you just read and study. The hard part is to find the burden. So you need, again, need to pray to find the burden. Now, that burden is found in many ways. It is found by your prayer. The Spirit touches you. And sometimes, as many brothers who speak would know, you find that by observing the saints. You read the saints, the body. And that gives you what? The burden. And this burden is living. Okay? This week, you speak this word, and this burden comes out. Next week, you speak the same outline, but a different burden is there. So, you cannot just deadly repeat, because this time the speaking is good, next time it will be good, because it's the same material, that's easy. No, 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 no. The next time, you need to find that fresh burden again. All right? And you even will sacrifice some of the other points to highlight the burden. Because the thing is not transfer of knowledge. That's not kind of speaking. It is what? It is to what? Let the Spirit enlighten. Convict, am I right? Shine, speak, and the Spirit speaks in a very living way by anointing a burden within us. So you have to learn this. I tell you, this kind of speaking is much harder than Toasters Club or whatever you go to. Learn public speaking. Okay. Another point is do your best to not speak in a doctrinal way. Now, there are points, and there are doctrines, and you need to speak them. But do your best not to be doctrine-centered, especially in these kind of lessons, the emphasis of which are practice and experience, all right? You present some doctrine, and you should, what? Apply that doctrine. Apply those principles by way to make those doctrines accessible by the hearers. The word I quoted, knowledge kills, but love builds. That means if you just present knowledge and points, doctrinal points, it does not, it kills. The letter kills. Only the Spirit gives life. And so you need to bring forth the Spirit, you know, by applying these things. And you apply it sometimes by your own experience, and you apply it sometimes by illustration, other people's experience. When there is stories, there are examples, the listener will immediately find connection and accessibility to the points. A lot of the FTTA style, I call it the FTTA style, which I'm very down on, although I don't blame them, because in the FTTA, that's all you learn, and that is called a testing style. So even in some classes, you have to do the test by speaking or something like that, or speak to one another. I don't know what they do. Just to test whether you got the points, whether you study. That's okay. But after a while, there's a kind of a building of a habit, if you will, thinking that if I just release my spirit with 10 points successfully, not missing even one, I'll get an A, right? Well, you did get an A from the standpoint of you got it. But from my standpoint, you got a D. Because from my standpoint of this kind of speaking, I hope you follow what I'm saying. All right? It's not just release the spirit point by point. Oh, okay, I did it, you know. And the people will say, wow, that's loud, you know. And but there's no accessibility. There's no connectivity. So you have to change. If that's your style, I would say please adjust. And I'm not talking about how loud or how quiet. I'm just talking about speaking in a way that bring the saints into the matter rather than just presenting some points. So I always say experience helps, illustration helps, stories help. Now, you don't need to go and buy a book on stories and best illustration on courage, you know. No. You have some experience. You have heard something. You know, today I talk about myself with my mother. I bet you were all listening. You were all very keen. What happened next? Right? When I talk about Howard burning his wetsuit, oh, you're very interested. If I'm just standing here, the process, triune God, and this and that, you will say, I heard that before. Turn off. But when I present a story, oh, wow, that's interesting. Because it's human. It is relatable. It is accessible. All right. Now, I'm just giving you points as it comes to me. Another thing in the speaking is do not rely on eloquence. Some of us are more eloquent than others, or just more gifted in that way or more able in that way. So I'm not condemning you. But I'm saying don't rely on that. And those of us who don't have that, don't feel too bad that you're not eloquent. Paul says, I speak to you not by the eloquence and the beauty of words, like the Greeks. Those are the Greeks. You know, sometimes when I listen to really eloquent and articulate people, I just go home and say, forget about it. What am I doing here, you know? This train or something, they're like lawyers, you know, they speak. Oh, I appreciate that. But I also found out, you bring that to the church, it doesn't work. We don't trust in eloquence, but I'll tell you what we trust in, or what we need. Utterance. Utterance. Utterance is different from eloquence. Eloquence is some kind of a, what is it? What is the definition of eloquence? The art of speech, or this kind of thing. Utterance is expression. The right expression that would deliver a matter. And utterance is spirit-given. Eloquence is acquired. You could acquire, or just some natural gift that you have. But eloquence is some God-given communication. I think it's in first, huh? Utterances. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right? We need the spiritual what? Words. Huh? Yeah, the words taught by the Spirit to express the things of the Spirit. In this case, is the matters concerning Christ, right? The deep things of God. So we need to learn to have proper utterances. Then another point. I give you so many points, you don't even know where to start, right? It's okay. It's okay. Brothers, here's another matter. Now, utterance simply means the appropriate expression that convey some spiritual things. All right? Okay. Now, I followed that with another important thing. Is brothers, especially when we're starting to learn to minister for the Lord, you have to learn to pick up the ministry's vocabulary. Now, I know we all like to come up with our own whatever, just be original, right? There's just that kind of tendency. Well, maybe the day will come. Who knows? I don't know. But when you start, don't do that. Learn the ministry terms and expressions. And let me, until you're used to it. You're used to it. And it follows this with another point. Actually, it may go back to the point about eloquence, is never use this as a place to show off. Don't. The brothers and sisters in the church are not your audience, for you to show off your knowledge, your gift, your whatever. No, that's all wrong. So don't show off. It's ugly. It's ugly. Talking about the saints, the listener, the brothers and sisters, you have to be very careful that you don't speak in a way that will victimize them. So I had a bad day, okay? I had a bad day. And I'm just kind of inside, just kind of boiling. So it's my turn to speak. So in my speaking, the boil comes out. Something comes out. Do you? I vent in my speaking. No. Don't think I'm making this up. This happens. That means you're not pure. You are mixing up your soulish feelings, your inward things with the things of the Lord, and you are defiling it. You are you are mixing the soul with the spirit. So, so I tell you, before you speak, you have to confess. You have to deal with things. You have to let go of your anger. You have to get rid of all your unrest and turmoil. You have to calm down. You have to turn to the Spirit. You have to. You see what I'm saying? To be in the right condition to say something. All right. Now, the length of speaking. The length of speaking. Currently, because of time constraint, none of us are speaking that long. That's just the way it is. How to speak something in 10 minutes, or 5, or 10, or 15, is different. To speak in 5 minutes, you speak one way. 10, another way. 15, another way. Some of us speaks too short. And because it's too short, nothing came out. Because it takes longer time for some matter to be developed. But you're too quick. You just do you read it through it and you sit down. The saints didn't know what you said. So some, whoa, my goodness, they're windbags, you know. They just speak and speak and we have this joke. They know how to take off. They don't know how to land. You know what I mean? They took off. They don't know how to land. Everyone wants them to land, but they won't land. They keep speaking, and everyone is tired out. Everyone is had their head down. Everyone is even groaning. He's still speaking, not because he wants to speak. He doesn't know how to land. So how to conclude? So these matters are all things that you have to learn in due course, brothers, and take your time to learn them. All right? It'll take you years. But I like to set up these things for you to pursue. If you mean business, brothers, you'll be very, very exercised to be practiced over these things. All right? Now, even I would like to say another couple of things. Number one, the tone of your voice. The speaking, you should not be so brittle. Is that the word brittle? Hard. Or harsh. You know, some brothers, when they speak, it's like fingernails on a blackboard, right? And I don't mean just the sound. I mean the style, the way they come out. It's just scratchy. And do you see what I mean? Sometime, I tell you, when you speak, you're exposed. If you don't speak, you're a mystery man. Nobody knows where you are. When you speak, everyone knows where you are. But that's the way it is. So I tell you, when you speak, the condition of your spirit comes out. Sometimes, no. Actually, talk about dealing. We even didn't talk about dealing with the spirit. We even talk about that. Well, okay. The point is, some of us actually have a spirit of pride. You don't even know it. But when you speak, that's pride in the spirit comes out. See, Brother Lee said it's like the source. There's a flow, clean, cool mountain spring, drinkable. Then it went through a sulfur patch, and it comes out the way, smell like sulfur. Clean water that had been through an unclean area, it will pick up all the contamination and smell. So the problem is really not our spirit. In dealing with our spirit, it's really still dealing with the passage. The passage as unclean or pride or they're very wounded. They're in pain. So when they speak, that pain comes out. But yet the burden is not pain. So it didn't work. So there's much need to reject your condition and where you are to speak the word of the Lord. That is not easy. Yesterday, this is making it up, this is not really. Let's say yesterday, a very one close to me died, and I'm in grief. And that's human. But this morning, I have to give a word, you know, on victory. I need to be delivered, at least temporarily, from that grief. And take care of the word's burden. Because this is not about me releasing my emotions. This is about ministering the word to God's people. So you need to deny even that feeling. You can grieve later. But as you minister the word, you cannot be conditioned by that. You cannot be bogged down by that. Right? You see, so much to learn. Brothers, let me tell you, to be a proper minister of the word will actually force us into a lot of dealings. It's not just giving a speech. That's easy. Some brothers, they speak in a very condescending tone. They had no intention to do that. But they just, when they come out, it's like saints feel they've been talking to. Talking down on them. Do you see what I'm saying? Unintentionally, that hinders the speaking. Don't talk down to the saints. Right? Don't talk down to the saints. Okay. The saints are not your punching bag. The saints are not your place to vent. The saints are not, the saints are not yours. They are the Lord's. We are just given a small responsibility to minister something of the Lord to His saints. And we need to respect that. All right, what else? Even in the sound of your voice, you should not be too loud. Some brothers are, you know, like, I have to close my ears because it's just, the decibel is just unbearable, and it affects your speaking. Yeah. Sorry to say, there's a brother not here, huh? In the Chinese-speaking side. Okay, I can say that. I love this brother. I mean, he's really... But when he speaks, oh my goodness, it is like standing next to a 737 jet engine. I need to put on those things to work there. Because it is like power of volume incessantly. And you can only take so much of it. Too loud, too just kind of. And you cause the saints suffering and pain. You know, at least the eardrums, right? But some other brothers, they speak like little birds that you don't know what they're talking about. See? Brotherly. Teach us, don't take care of your throat, take care of people's ears. That includes don't speak too loud, right? And don't speak too soft. Okay. So the tone, the volume, and finally, brothers, the gesture. The gesture. In public speaking, they train you actually in gesture, not just talking. But your gesture. Some are just like a stick, you know, like a statue. From beginning to end, nothing happens, nothing moves, not even the facial muscle. It's just Oh, God is living. Nothing is living about you. Do you see what I'm saying? Some are just all over the place and maybe a little bit like me. I don't know. Just, you're just kind of distracted by his activities and you don't even forget about what he's talking about. So, Brother Lee, pay attention to this. How to have the proper gesture in saying this thing or saying that thing. And all that should not distract, but all that should support what you are trying to speak. Okay, I think I have just dumped a load of whatever on you. You may go home and say, forget about it. I'm not going to speak anymore. I will never become like this. Well, I would say, don't do that. Take your time. You will fail. You will miss. And it is good to even sometime open to receive some help from some other brothers to critique you for your improvement. Otherwise, you don't know. You just keep going on in some old habits of yours. All right? What time is it? 2:30. It's good, right? Yeah. So I... Please ask some questions.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit more. I feel like there's these two sides. On one side, there's two sides that you mentioned that is hard for especially young brothers to do. On one side, we should learn to find the burden. We should bring out experiences and illustrations. But on another side, you know, many of us were trained to stick to the outline. Don't come up with your own ideas. You just speak what's there. I feel like this is very hard often to, you know, I feel like somehow that's maybe sometimes...
Let me answer that by a practical... Okay, so us. We minister in the big conferences and things, right? You know that. Long outlines. And they're getting longer. Okay. The art of it is how to not forego or miss certain things, and yet at the same time not be bogged down just to cover everything to get the job done. In other words, to bring forth a burden. Well, this is where you have to prioritize. Your job is to finish that, my job is to finish that outline to cover all the points. But clearly, there's no way for me to give equal weight and finish it in time. It's impossible. So, in my preparation of that message, most of the time spent is not just read all the reference material and get all the points. Most of the time is spent in finding the burden. So that in this long outline, only one real Roman numeral, I feel, is the main burden. And then I will sacrifice, if you will, the other points. I still cover them. Now, look at Brother Ron Kangas. He made the outlines, he and Brother Ed. And he couldn't get to all the points, so that once he got through that one or two burden, he just read the rest. Am I right? That's what I'm trying to say. Now, you don't have such long outlines. Principle is the same. You need to take care of both, but you need to prioritize by where your burden is and, quote, sacrifice on those areas that is not the primary burden. Again, this takes some practice. Yeah.
I'll go first. So, you know, this family training, we try to bring it, of course, to our small groups so that we can all get into it together. In the small groups, there are definitely newer ones, much newer than those who come regular to the training times on Lord's Day. And, you know, things that we felt our burden, at first we start speaking about it, you know, people are listening, of course, 5 minutes later, people disengaged because our speaking lacked tact to, you know, even to understand where they are at. I don't know. I just kind of just want to echo about not exactly knowing how to reach out to this newer one when we're with these people. How do we? Is there any way to know how what they're thinking, where they are, and their human way to to connect?
So I answer in two ways. Okay, number one, you're talking about small groups, right? Home groups, correct? Home meetings, yeah. Okay. Yes, we did say do use these material, family training materials, in your home meetings. We did say that as one avenue to impart or to review these things with the saints. Okay. Having said that, you cannot do that rigidly or legally. The off-use illustration by Brother Lee is, he said, I teach you how to drive by the book. But when I get into the driving wheel, you may think I'm not driving by the book. I'm driving no more by the book. I'm driving according to the traffic. That's the whole point. So you need to, in your home meeting, drive not by the book, but by the traffic, meaning by the situation in the home meeting, the people in your home meeting, and the needs that you sense and perceive in the home meetings, and you meet that need. Now, sometimes the way to meet that need is totally have nothing to do with this family training, whatever. It's a gospel friend who wants to know the existence of God. He doesn't know anything about dealing, digging, whatever. He just knows how God exists. So forget the family training. You need to take care of that need. So learn to meet needs in a flexible way. However, there are times where the person has some need and so forth. And if you're skillful, you can use these material in the family training skillfully, cooked in the right way, to feed them. That depends on you. It doesn't depend on the material. So the cook is the key, and we are the cook. This does not even apply just to family training. I say even without family training, a lot of our home meetings, sorry to say, are with cooks who only know one dish, you know, or who burn everything, or everything is always raw, okay? You serve meat to vegans. You don't know what you're doing. You thought, wow, I'm just cooking something, I'm serving, and people start having diarrhea, and you say, what's wrong? You are not sensitive and aware. I tell you, most of shepherding is not in the prescription. It's in the diagnosis of the problem. Once you know the problem, actually it's easy. We don't spend enough time, or we don't have enough sensitivity. But that comes from experience and knowledge, to sense where people are, and then you minister the need to something to meet their need. You better practice that in the home meetings, family training or not. And you should start seeing a difference. That's why I stress this matter of the inner sensation, to learn to sense the Lord and sense people, right? What is that chapter in the character of the Lord's worker, chapter 1? And that is learning to listen. Actually, a serving person, one of the most important thing to learn is to listen, but not just to be a garbage disposal. But learning to listen, meaning to learn to discern where people are. From a sinner, all the way to a saint where they are. The more you learn, you can pick that up, sense that something quickly. They don't need to say that much, you know. But those who are not experienced, you can listen all day long. You still don't know what the point is. Sometimes even the person doesn't know what the point is. But you should know. So all these are skills that you have to pick up over time. So I encourage you to use your small group to train yourself. Amen. In how to meet needs.
Yeah, Brother Manoah, I just had a question about what you shared earlier, specifically regarding spending longer periods of time with the Lord to allow the Lord to shine on you. I think many times my thought is I don't know how to spend a longer time with the Lord. I can, especially without an agenda. Oftentimes, maybe if you bring some material, whether what we're covering, the morning revival or a chapter on dealing with the heart, it almost feels like I'm sort of going a bit with an agenda, or I go to the Lord with a problem. Let's say there's something that's happening in my life. That's already going with agenda. So I don't know whether to go with something or to go with nothing and to just be with the Lord, but then it's hard to be with the Lord for an hour, or I'm still learning, but I was wondering if you had any advice.
We need both. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of times when we go to the Lord, there's always something already. Something in your environment, something bothering in your heart, or some sin that you're aware of, or some offense, you know. I wouldn't call that agenda, in strictly speaking. Those are real situations that you want to bring to the Lord and have a conversation with the Lord. So that's normal. So don't say that's agenda, okay? But there are times where really there's nothing in particular. You're kind of okay, you're just there, right? But that doesn't mean you should not go to the Lord to receive light. You see, we don't go to the Lord just because we got a problem, or at least a sensible problem. We go to the Lord because we need the Lord. You see? So this is without an agenda. So I would say, when I do this, sometimes it takes a longer time, but invariably, somewhere along the line, if I spend enough time with the Lord will speak in some ways to me. Not the way I think, but in the way that He wants to speak to me. They say that the best prayer, real prayer, is not us going to the Lord to talk to Him. Real prayer is to allow the Lord the chance to talk to us. Amen. So when we're in the depth of prayer, He is doing most of the speaking. We are doing most of the responding. Now, there are times, you know, we cast our cares on the Lord, bring it to prayer. Yes, that's one side. But I would say that we are talking about this other side, and that is to allow the Lord the chance and some quietness so that He can speak to us on things that He could not say in a daily rush of things. You know, just in the car, you're looking at this, and then you pray a few words. It does not allow the Lord that chance. So what I do is I take a walk. I go to the backyard. I walk up, go to the hill. And many times when I take my dog out, alone time and quiet time, you're just with the Lord. You just don't know how much the Lord wants to say to us. But He doesn't have the chance. Right? So the word, I love the word, is linger. This is Abraham. He lingered, and it paid off. It paid off. We're too quick, you know, nothing, okay, bye, you know. The Lord even didn't have a chance. He wants us to quiet down, be in a calm state, then he converse and open his heart to us. I'm here just talking about digging. I'm not even talking about receiving burdens from the Lord, receiving commandments and orders from the Lord for our service and for our going on, right? In public speaking, it's not like conversing next to each other. So learn to not speak so fast. Learn to articulate. Learn to make your words clear, all right? Learn to speak clearly. Sometimes, you know, that's how you talk. But when it comes to sharing with the saints, it's better to slow down a bit and articulate more. So it's not for looks, okay? This is not cosmetic. This is for clarity. This is to take care of the saints' hearing, all right? Let's stop here, huh?